science fiction has become science fact, with more and more news breaking now on retinal prosthesis or bionic eyes implants, which can help those who are blind or severely sight impaired have, well, a kind of vision, helping with their confidence and mobility. The Argus 2 is probably one of the most successful implants. Keith Heyman was one of the participants who underwent surgery to have the Argus 2 prosthesis implanted, and he joins us now from Blackpool. Keith, tell me a little bit of your life before the implant.
Well, as everyone else who's got RP, retinitis pigmentosa, it's just a case of your eyesight going worse and worse and worse until it actually goes all together. It's a slow process, but it was with me. Finally, I lost my sight in around about 1985, and from then on it was just sitting in the dark, as every other blind person knows. You just got to try and get on with life. And then I heard about this experimental device, applied for it, met all the criteria, met the wonderful Mr. Stanger and all his staff, who were absolutely great, had the operation, and that's it. That's as far as it goes.
That's the potted history, Keith. Tell me, though, you said you lost your sight back in the mid-80s. What was it like when that happened? How did it change your life?
Oh, well, I went through a period of depression when it was getting worse and worse and worse. At first, I just thought, it's not going to get that bad. It'll just get, you know, pretty bad, but I'll always be able to see a little bit. But eventually, I couldn't. I went through a period of depression, drank a bit, sulked a lot, and then I got used to it, sort of thing, with the help of my family, my wife, my kid, my sister and brother, good friends, got over it, started living again.
What was the effect like on your family and friends? Because we often hear about the individual, but it must be quite tough for them as well.
Well, I can't imagine what it was like on the other side, because, you know, I was pretty horrendously depressed, and I don't know, it must have been hard for them, but they stuck by me and helped me get through it, I suppose. You don't notice it happening until somebody tells you, you know, somebody says you're a rat, miserable so-and-so, you lately. I know it must be hard, but, you know, other people have to live with you.
Was there a particular turning point or event that kind of made you think, well, I have to get on with it now, I can't be like this?
I can't just picture a particular time. I know I was drinking too much. I think financial difficulties pulled me around and we had to start living properly again.
Now, you came through that really difficult period. Now, before you heard about the retinal prosthesis, what kind of things helped you back on track?
I think it's just realising that, you know, life has to go on. And I started going on little weekend holidays with my wife and my sister, camping in a, you know, in a caravan sort of thing, taking the kids with us, and started trying to live. And then I realised that you can live without your sight. It's not the end of the world. There are far worse off people than I. And it's just a gradual process of getting to live again and enjoying yourself again. It's just a case of realising that, you know, it's not the be-all and end-all.
Did you have help from any agencies or charities?
No, nothing really. I was told when I was diagnosed with it, I was told there's nothing they could do, so I just took it on myself that there's nothing you can do, why bother?
Why did you decide to apply then for the Argus 2 implant?
Well, I'd sort of got used to the fact that there was nothing they could do. And then when it was my sister who saw an article on Granada TV early one morning, and she rang me and told me about it. Whatever happens, it can't get any worse. I'm blind. I can't be cured. So anything that can help. It gave me another interest in life. I actually thought, this is, you know, it could be something good. Another interest. No matter what happens, I'm doing something.
Did you think it sounded a bit science fiction?
Oh, yeah. Having spoken to Professor Stanger, he does really convince you that you're not going to get your sight back. It's a system of light flashes. So I wasn't over-expectant. You've got to realise you're not going to get your sight back.
At the point where you went along to see Professor Stanger, did you have no sight at all?
No, none at all.
So even the thought of perhaps just having some kind of flashes of light or something was a bit of hope?
Yes, it sounded quite exciting. The way they explain it, you know, they do convince you that you're not going to be able to see your family and see things again like you could. It's just a help. The way I thought about it, well, I've got nothing. Anything is better than nothing. I was quite surprised when I'd had it done. You know, it was quite exciting, really, to see these flashes and make shapes out. And
the procedure itself, Keith, is relatively quick. Did you worry about going into theatre at all?
No. I've never been one for being over nervous of things like that. I just think they know what they're doing.
After the procedure, when you were in the hospital, the first time that they switched on the Argus 2 implant, what was that like? What happened?
Well, it was a few weeks because you've got to let your eye heal up, obviously. But one of the technicians came over from Switzerland, and when we first tried the system, and the first thing I saw was a window. And I just saw the flashes of light, and he said, "That's the window." And I thought, wow. And then he starts scanning with the glasses, and he can make out with the flashes the frame of the window. And then you look round and you see more flashes, and that's the person. That was the gentleman that had come over. And then you sort of get used to starting building up these flashes to different shapes and different things. It was really quite exciting. First time I really appreciated what it was, I got them in the October, I think it was, September, October, something like that. And I went to a firework party at my sister's with my grandkids and her grandkids. We always have a bit of a party. That was in the November. And when I saw the rocket flashing and the fireworks as they go off, I could see the flashes. It really became home to me what difference it made. I'd never seen flashing fireworks for 20 years.
You describe these flashes, Keith. So is it like a series of dots that make up patterns? Or?
Yeah, you've got to scan with the glasses. And any contrasting colour or shape, it comes up as a flash. And if you scan sideways and then up and down, you can sort of make out the shape of whatever it is you're looking at. The best way I can describe it, I can remember when I could see driving down a country road or a main road in the dark, and the cat's eyes in the middle of the road would flash, wouldn't they, as you're driving. As it picks up the light from the headlight, the cat's eyes down the middle of the road, you see these sparkling lights. And it's a bit like that. With this system on, if you walk down the edge of the road and the curb is paler than the pavement, you can follow the flashing lights.
So in theory then, could you go out onto the street and follow a path?
In some cases, if the tarmac on the pavement is dark and the curbstone is lighter, I can make out the difference and I can follow the curbstone down. Or if you're crossing over the road, you can see where the edge of the curb is. And then once you're crossing the road, you can pick up the next curb on the other side. If it's a contrasting colour, or if you follow the edge of a green verge, there's some streets around here that have got green verges, which are obviously a different colour to the pavement, so you can follow the edge. It flashes when you get the difference of the colour.
It sounds very simple, Keith, but it must have been a whole new world for you.
It is like that, yeah. The difficult bit is scanning and making out the shapes. You know, if you're walking into a lamppost, you can see that there's something in front of you, so you can make out there is a shape there, so you're not going to walk into it. And people walking towards you, you can see the flashes, you know there's something there. You don't know it's a person, or you don't recognise them, but you know there's something there. That's the great thing about it.
Some people have been able to make out large letters. Is that something
you've
seen? Yeah,
there's been different types of success. Some people have more success than others, and they can sort of make out the letters. I couldn't do that, but it has been done. I know Peter that was at the hospital, he read little letters in a book. Not little tiny letters, but say about an inch and a half, 2 inches tall. He could make out the shapes of the letters. Just come as a flash to me.
In certain countries, the Argus 2 implant is paid for by that country's health service, but at the moment it's not available on the NHS. Is that something you would really like to see changed?
Well, I would personally, but that's a personal thing. I mean, I know there's a lot of different demands on the health service, but if they realise what the difference it makes to blind people, I think it should be helped.
The Argus 2 is going to go through all sorts of changes and updates and so on, and it will improve over time. But Keith, it sounds as if it's made a massive difference to you.
It has made a massive difference to me. A lot of it is psychological, as I've said to Professor Stanger and Ellie that works for him. I notice a lot, if I go out at night, which we usually go out about once a fortnight, I used to be sat in the club where we used to go, and as all blind people will tell you, you can't always know when there's somebody near you or not. They can get up and walk away and you don't know. With this system, you can see people opposite you, you can see your glass on the table, you can see people around you. You don't feel that cut-off feeling that you get, that isolation. It seems to have helped that a lot.
Many people can probably identify with that, Keith, you know, being in a public place and being with people, and perhaps they move away and you feel as if you're stuck.
That's it. It's a horrible feeling. It's hard to describe, that isolated feeling. It makes a big difference to that. You can scan with the glasses and you can make out that there are people around you, and you know where they are. You know when they've gone because they're not there anymore. You know, you never used to, did you? People would walk away and you carry on talking to them and they weren't there.
Keith, it's obviously made a huge difference to your life, and we certainly hope that there will be more improvements to this. But for the moment, thank you for telling us your story.
Thanks a lot. Speak to you again sometime.
it is quite a story, the Argus II retinal prosthesis implant. Now, there has been some more news on this. The company behind the Argus II, that's Second Sight, have released a statement recently, and a new policy on the NHS funding of Argus II for patients suffering with retinitis pigmentosa has been issued. The public consultation allows stakeholders, including would-be and previously implanted Argus II patients, doctors and sight loss charities, the opportunity to comment on a new draft policy to fund the treatment through NHS England in order that severely blind patients in England can have access to a technology that's now available in many other parts of Europe. You can have a look at the draft policy and feedback on this by going to engage.england.nhs.uk/consultation/clinical-commissioning/wave8. And if you want more details on that, we will repeat that again for you around about 5 to 7 here on the afternoon edition. Submissions must be in for Friday the 15th of April 2016, so more feedback, the more chances that the Argus II retinal implant will be free from NHS England.